Well, last week we began another one of these three-week sermon series all around this tool that we're practicing, these practices of the faith on praising God when things go wrong. And we talked about last week the biblical response, that when things go wrong, our call by God is to praise God, is to bring praises to the Lord in the midst of those circumstances. We even talked about Paul and Silas as an example of that, how in their faithfulness to the Lord, they were arrested and beaten and stripped and mocked and placed in shackles and in prison. And then how the scripture tells us in that, that they were singing praises and praying to God, giving us this great example of bringing praises to the Lord when things were going wrong in their lives. Well, I want to share a little story with you from my life about a year ago. And I was on one of these spiritual direction residencies. And we had found out not long before that we were expecting a child. And we were extremely excited about that. And while I was on that retreat, it was a Thursday, the retreat was to end on Friday, Mandy had her first doctor's appointment. And I wasn't able to go with her because I was on this residency at this camp. And she had sent me text earlier that morning with all these, what are those things called, emojis? These faces and characters and hearts and stuff, talking about how excited she was and to hear the baby's heartbeat and maybe even see the baby, depending on what the doctor decided to do. And so I'm down there just kind of holding all that, knowing that all of this was taking place up here. And I came back during one of the breaks later that day, and I grabbed my phone to check my messages, and I had received this text. No heartbeat. I'm heading home. And obviously, just felt like I got kicked in the stomach, and all of these questions had come up in our mind. Knowing that a lot of people experienced this and that we had been fortunate with our first three children not to go down that path, but just feeling really empty all of a sudden. Not what I was expecting, not what any of us would have been expecting. So made a phone call, we talked, and even now, as I told her last night as I got her permission to share this, and we talked about it last night, I said, I can't believe I didn't come home in that moment. Like, I'm sorry if I should have, because thinking back, like, I feel like I should have left in that moment and driven home. But we talked about that. There was family there with her while I was gone. And we had decided that I would just stay that night and finish. We were finishing the next day around noon, and that I would come home, you know, that next afternoon. And now in thinking about it, I think that God just really wanted me to be there, to experience what I experienced that next morning. So obviously carrying a lot of emotions, wanting to be up here with her, but feeling like I was supposed to be down there, and just the whole, everything that happened was just kind of, what is going on? So that next morning, and we had some things that afternoon and evening, and to be honest with you, I don't really remember any of it other than just being kind of emotional, and there were some folks there that I was able to share this with, and that were holding that in prayer and being an encouragement in the midst of that. But the next morning, we were having a closing worship service. And in the midst of that, I had been wrestling with this and really was in prayer to the Lord. And, you know, God, I want to give this to you. Like, I don't know what's waiting for me back home. I don't know what we're going to be entering into over these next few weeks. There's fear in that for her and for us and for the family and just all this. And in the midst of a pretty powerful worship experience that next morning, many of you would know Jody Tomei, and one of Jody's gifts is to lead prayer times and worship times and to use her dance to help people use their bodies as a way of praising God. And she had brought this song, and she was doing this prayer dance to this song, and in the midst of that, really felt like God was inviting me into this process, even though I didn't have this process in front of me. And in the midst of all of those questions, I felt God lead me to name this child Mystery. because there was really nothing else that we were going to be able to know about this situation. We weren't going to know the whys. We weren't going to know the hows. There was a lot we just were not going to know. And so it got to that point that next morning in the midst of this worship where I had done that. Well, then she, in the midst of this movement, went to an altar type space, a sacred space in that room, and got on her knees and did this motion with her hands where she was making an offering to God, lifting her hands and giving that which was something that she had to the Lord. And when she did that, something just connected within me where I felt led to bring an offering of praise to God and to offer up everything about this situation, this mystery, to the Lord in prayer and in praise. And it became this incredible moment for me where, in the midst of confusion and questions and fear, and I'm not sure I was wrestling with anger yet, but just all of those raw emotions, having an invitation to praise God and responding to that invitation by offering all that this situation was to the Lord in the midst of that praise. And it's not like all of a sudden everything was wonderful. I mean, this situation wasn't going to change. But somehow God met me in the midst of that praise, in the midst of that worship, in a way that gave me a little bit more strength and courage and empathy to be able to come home and try to start walking through this as a family. And part of what was going to be hard was that we were having, like, this was the weekend of Jakin's birthday. All of our family was coming in that Friday for the weekend, and we were planning on telling them about this child we're expecting that weekend. So I knew that there was a part of this that we were just going to have to hold while they were all there. And in the midst of praising God and all of that, the strength came to hold on to that and to allow God to hold on to me and to us. And as I thought about that, God laid that on my heart this week as an example in my life where something went wrong. Like, this wasn't on our radar. Something terrible happened. And yet in the midst of that, being able to praise God and allow God to come around me and around us to hold us in that became incredibly powerful to help us have the strength with the Lord to move forward in this. And that's the invitation that we've been given last week and this week. When things go wrong in our lives, when we're faced with these tough circumstances and trials, to not run from God, but to come to the Lord, to lift up an offering or a sacrifice of praise. But the problem is that that's hard, and when we aren't able to do that, or when we don't do that, or when it's not natural for us to do that, we can tend to get stuck in life. We ask these questions of how, and we have these questions. We want to know why this happened. We want to make sense of things that are often senseless. There is no sense to it, but we want to know why? Why did this happen? We often want to blame others or blame God or attach some sort of reason to this circumstance. Or in the midst of these heavy emotions, emotions that are so heavy that we tend to not want to process them, it can lead us to living into this depression or doubts in regards to our faith, or fears about life, or anxieties. And even some of these things that aren't perhaps don't have the magnitude of some of those types of losses, those day-to-day things that life's just not going right here, like it's a bad day at work. Like, when we don't take those things to God, they have a tendency to change our attitude. And we have a negative attitude or an anger, or we cast those emotions off on people that we love and care about. And there's an interesting line in some stuff I was reading earlier this week that says, when we give in to this, when we allow ourselves to get stuck and not bring praise to God, we are ascribing more power to the evil one, who is oftentimes behind these circumstances, than we are to the God who is sovereign and loves us and has the ability and the desire to come around us in love. And so this morning we want to talk about how we can be obedient. How we can be obedient to turning our focus away from the problems and the situations and fixing our eyes on Jesus, where we can praise God even in the midst of the problem. And we're going to look at a few passages today, but the primary text comes from Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 15 as our scripture reading this morning. Before I do, I just invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to send your Spirit in a way that helps us to experience the reality of you and your love and your presence in a meaningful way. Pour out your blessings upon us. Continue to transform us, Holy Spirit, into Christ-likeness. And especially in these moments, may we be strengthened by you to come to you in praise, even in the midst of these difficult situations. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Again, I'll be beginning with verse 8, reading through verse 15. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. For it is well for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by regulations about food, which have not benefited those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who officiate in the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. And therefore Jesus also suffered outside the city gate, in order to sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp and bear the abuse he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but are looking for the city that is to come. Through him then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we're really going to hone in on the last verse that I read here this morning, and that's going to be the verse that carries us throughout the sermon. But I just love the bookends of the passage that I read. Now obviously these verses come in the midst of a greater context. But if you just think about verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Those two verses can carry us a long way in life. And this morning we want to talk about offering a sacrifice of praise. Because that's really what this practice, this discipline that we've been looking at this week is asking us to do. To make a sacrifice of praise to God in the midst of difficult situations, when things go wrong in our life. So I want to talk a little bit first just about the sacrificing, this process. A sacrifice is something of value offered as an act of worship or devotion to God. So when we're making a sacrifice, we're taking something of value to us and we're offering up to God. And we're doing so as an act of worship and devotion to God. When we worked through the practice of forgiveness, we talked about at the core of that, it's really just about letting go. It's about letting go of these hurts and these offenses and the ways that people have hurt us in life. And in a similar ways, within this practice of praising God when things go wrong, we're offering sacrifices to God. We are making an act of worship, and we're declaring our devotion by God by praising God when things go wrong, by offering these things up to the Lord. And so when Paul, or it's debatable, the writer of Hebrews, says in chapter 13, verse 15, "Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name," he's inviting us in all circumstances, as he tells us many times in Scripture, in all circumstances, to come to the Lord and offer up a sacrifice of praise. Give to the Lord this is which is of value to us. Offer it up to the Lord as worship, as an act of devotion. And so each step in this practice is a sacrifice of praise. We're offering something of value to God in worship as an expression of devotion. And so the first step, I would say, we are sacrificing the why. We're sacrificing the why. Step one of that practice is in prayer, let go of your desire to understand why this happened. This is no easy thing in and of itself, because it's often our first inclination. When things go wrong in our lives, whether they be things that we would look at back and say that's kind of minor, or things that we would look back and say that was a really big one, when they happen, our first inclination is to seek answers, to try to find understanding, to look for explanations as to why this happened or why God would allow it to happen. We want to believe there's a reason, something or someone that we can point to. And as I said earlier, sometimes we want to make sense of the senseless. Now again, you've heard me say this many times, I want to encourage the process of lament in your life. What I'm not asking you to do is ignore these questions and the emotions tied to them. But what I would encourage you to do is, in the midst of these circumstances, is to make that lament to God. Take those questions to God, take the frustrations, lift up the emotions, and come to God with the anger and the honest crying out of how you feel about the circumstance. And then sacrifice those things. And sacrifice that question, why? Make it an offering to the Lord, and let go of it into God's hands. A true lament within the Scriptures ends with a profession of trust in God. And that's really what we're doing here. We're saying, God, we have a lot of hurt, a lot of emotions, and a lot of questions. And we're going to take that to you. But in the end, we're going to offer these up to you is a sacrifice of praise, and we're going to choose to trust you in the midst of this circumstance. Because otherwise we get caught up in trying to find these answers that may never come. And we lose the opportunity to find God in the midst of this circumstance. I want to share another illustration with you, and this one we're going to carry out throughout the rest of the sermon. A couple weeks ago, you know it's tax time. Who loves tax time, right? Woohoo! Well, a little bit of history here so that you understand this scenario. We moved here in July 2011. And so at the end of that year, like early 2012, with my 2011 taxes, was the first time I ever hired an accountant to do our taxes. Because there had been a move, we'd sold a house, there were just a lot of questions, and I just wanted to make sure this was taken care of. So, hired the accountant took care of it, filed everything for us, move on. What that accountant didn't tell me was that my tax situation was going to change a lot in the next year compared to how it had been the last several years, and that I needed to be paying prepaid taxes throughout the year. So, when I went to prepare my 2012 taxes, when I finished, I looked at a $6,800 bill. This is what was due to the government for my 2012 taxes. And when I saw that number, my heart sank. I felt like I got kicked in the gut. This wasn't good. Well, that was several years ago. We worked through that. It's history. We learned from it. We've been doing things the right way ever since. So I was surprised 2 weeks ago when I got online and started using the software and doing my taxes. When I'm in the process of doing them and I'm looking at these numbers and I'm like, this is not looking good for the Parker household. And when it got down to it, I was looking at another $5,000 tax bill. And again, felt like I got kicked in the gut. My heart just sank. And all of these insecurities that you don't realize you have start flooding when this happens. It's like, oh my goodness, I feel like a failure. I feel ignorant. How could I not know that something was going to change? I'm doing a lousy job of stewardship, of taking care of my family, of providing for them. What's Mandy going to think of me in the midst of this? Now, I got to tell you, there's no reason for me to question that because she has been such grace to me throughout our marriage. But in the midst of a situation like that, and those insecurities are flooding, you're just like, oh no, I've disappointed her. It's like, I'm going to fix this. What can I sell? I'll walk to work. Well, in the midst of this, I start working on this preaching series about praising God in the midst, like when things go wrong. And in my mind and in my heart, I realized that God wanted me to use this situation and to work through these steps in this situation. And so at the beginning of this past week, on Monday, knowing that I was going to be preaching through these steps today, I started taking this situation to the Lord. And the first step of that was to let go of the why. Now, in this situation, that was really hard for me. I had already gone through that software 5 times. I'd looked at every document. I'd tried to figure out how, from last year to this year, something had changed enough that I would suddenly owe over $5,000. And I'd done it enough times that finally Monday, I just felt like the Lord was saying, you gotta let this go. You gotta let go of the why. I need you to offer it to me. And so to the best of my ability, early this week, I did that. The second point on your outline, if you're following along there, is sacrificing the blessed life. Or the blessed life. Step two in the practice is let go of your expectations to have a life without problems. Let go of your expectations to have a life without problems. We do, in our hearts at times, have a tendency to believe that we are due a life without problems. You've heard me talk about this before, that it's a huge message in our culture right now. That this life, that this world owes me something. That I'm entitled to the blessings of the good life. And this plays out in the Christian life, in the Christian walk, especially in our country, in our culture right now. This idea and this belief that if we do good, if we love Jesus, and if we live faithfully, that God's blessings, which are also are often attached to God's material blessings, will come down upon us. And not only will we receive these blessings, but these blessings will be a sign to us that we are in God's favor, and that we are living a good and faithful life. That our wealth and our prosperity and our good health and all of these things that we hope for in this life are blessed with are signs that we're living right with God. Or when they're removed from us, then that must be a sign of God's discipline. That we've done something wrong. That our faith isn't strong enough. That we're not praying the right way or giving the right way. Well, in the midst of that context, I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 11. This is the great chapter of faith. And I want to read to you from verse 32 on. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all of these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. These are individuals through the history of the faith that were commended for their faith, that lived a faithful life to God. And look at their story. Is there a blessed life? Blessings and promises of God that we have to look forward to? Yes. And they are still to come. They are of a kingdom that is not yet fully present in this world. And yet so many of us have this tendency to believe that all that there is in God's blessings is available to us now, that we should be receiving that now. Now, are there blessings we receive? Of course. Anything and everything good comes from God. And when we're in the midst of those, we should be thanking Jesus. When we see evidence of the kingdom around us, evidence of God on work, evidence of those blessings. And in this life, there are trials and suffering that come upon the faithful. I found myself this week as I was working through this step in regards to this tax situation, making this dangerous leap where I was saying, but God, our family tithes. We give 10% of our income to this church, and then we go above and beyond that. We give offerings to ministries and missions and organizations. God, if there's anyone that shouldn't have this happen, it's me. It's us. I deserve something more. I deserve something better. How quickly we can go there with the Lord. This transactional type relationship where we say, oh, if we do all this, God's going to give us this and all will be well, the blessed life. Well, I believe that an important part of this process is to sacrifice that, to make an offering of that to God. A book written by Catherine Marshall titled Something More. In that book, she says this: God allows us to have disappointments, frustrations, or even worse, because God wants us to see that our joy is not in such worldly pleasures as success or money or popularity or health or sex or even a miracle-working faith. Our joy is in the fact that we have a relationship with God. Few of us ever understand that message until circumstances have divested us of any possibility of help except by God Himself. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Well, the next point on your outline is sacrificing our control. Sacrificing our control. Step 3, praise God and acknowledge that He will bring something good out of this situation. We talked about this last week, found it in Romans 8:28, that because of God's sovereignty and because of God's love, we have hope, and we believe that in every situation, for those that God who love God, that God will come in and bring good out of it. But notice who's doing that. It says, praise God and acknowledge that God will bring something good. Not me. Not you. Last week in Acts 16, the story of Paul and Silas, we stopped it. I stopped reading right at that verse when it said that they were praying and praising God. And yet, if you continue the reading, you would see that God brought an earthquake and the doors opened and the chains were broke. And then you would assume that they jumped up and said, thank you, Jesus, and ran out of that prison. But they didn't. They actually stayed in the prison. And they didn't just stay there. They called out to the jailer and said, hey, we're still here. Because they didn't want him to take his own life, which would have been common then, because the penalty on him for their escape would have been death. And so if they would have escaped on his watch, like, he was ready to take his life because he knew that's what he had coming to him. They called out to him and said, hey, no, wait, we're still here. The chains have been broken, the doors are open, but we're still here. You realize what they were doing is that they were continuing to put that situation in God's control. They weren't trying to take control of the circumstances. They were leaving it up to the Lord to bring good out of that. And this week, even after I'd processed step one and step two and started to give this whole tax situation over to the Lord, I was still trying to control the situation. I was trying to go get every penny back I could possibly get back. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. But not only did I leave no stone unturned, I was leaving no stone unturned at least 10 times. And every time I would work through it, I would watch these numbers on the corner of the screen go up and down. I'm like, oh, good, they went down. And then they would go up and down. Finally, through this process, I came to the point where I said, God, I'm done controlling this. There's nothing I can do about it at this point. I'm offering that up to you. And I believe that you'll bring good out of it. I'm not excited about that process. I'm not excited that it's taking this situation. But I believe you'll bring good out of it. Finally, number four is sacrificing the outcome. Step four, continue to praise God even if you don't see a change in your situation. There are times when God intercedes. There are times when God fixes and changes the situation. Paul and Silas, not only were they eventually freed, but the jailer came to faith and had his entire household baptized. An incredible ending to that story where they remained faithful in praising God in their circumstance. And there are also times when the situation doesn't change. And yet God can help the hearts, can help our hearts change and be transformed in the midst of the situation. We can have hope in what is to come. And we can have faith because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Tucked in the middle of Hebrews 11 and 13 is this verse in Hebrews 12 that I love. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Jesus Christ is to say same yesterday and today and forever. There is a hope. There is faith. We can hold on and know that one day all of these things will be gone. These worries, these problems, these tough situations will be gone. And in the midst of today, we praise God and we hold on. And we ask Jesus to strengthen and sustain us as we let go, as we continue to sacrifice and make an offering of praise, even in the midst of the storms of our life. So Thursday night, I got to this place where I'm like, if I'm going to talk about this in church Sunday, I need to have filed these taxes. I need to truly let it go. So Thursday evening, I get home, and I finish them, and I made this commitment that I was going to praise God the whole time. And so we sang that song last week in worship, Praise Will Ever Be On My Lips, Ever Be On My Lips. That's going on in my head the entire time I'm doing my taxes. Praise, ever be on my lips. I'm just going to keep praising God. Finished them, was ready to file them, started pushing these buttons. The last thing it does right before it files them is it pops up and it does a final review. I mean, it had already done like three final reviews, but it did a final review. And this time when it did that, it popped up with this little question, and it said, this box should not be checked if such and such was true. And I'm like, well, that's not true. So I clicked no. And all of a sudden, this $5,500 number dropped down to where I then was receiving a $300 refund. I kid you not. Like, there's part of me that didn't want to tell that part of the story because I feel bad that, like, God did something in the midst of this situation. I couldn't believe it. Like, I just was staring at the computer, and I'm like, something's going to change. Like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I'm having a hard time right now believing that after I went through these steps and after I gave all this to the Lord, that this just happened in front of my eyes. So I didn't get up and dance or anything like you might have expected. But actually the kids were being put to bed, so I saved it and I went up to tell them goodnight, and I said to Mandy, I was like, you know, this whole tax thing has been stressing me out. I said, well, I had decided this week that I was going to commit that to these steps. And then I was going to talk about it Sunday. This was going to be the illustration I used about how even in owing all this money, I've been praising God and trying to learn how to do this. I was like, you wouldn't believe what just happened. I told her, she's like, you're kidding me. I mean, we were just in disbelief. And there was still a part of me that's like, this can't be right. Well, that night we were doing our final review. And because I didn't submit them at that point, and realized that there were still some receipts from some stuff we'd had done to the house. I'm like, all right, well, tomorrow I'm going to go in, I'm going to submit those. And I did. And when I submitted them, that number went right back up to where I was owing $5,500. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But this is what was crazy about that. It didn't affect me the way it did 2 weeks ago. It didn't have a hold on me. I didn't get all angry and frustrated. I didn't throw my laptop out the window. Didn't. Like, all of that, I really felt like in that moment, I've given this to the Lord. This isn't going to bring me down. By the way, I went to submit them. This final review question came up. It had gone back and done what I corrected it again, went back to having a $300 refund. That really is the end of that story. Except that in that moment, I filed. I was like, I am not risking this anymore. Like, these are sent, they're filed, they've been accepted by the federal and state government, praise be to God, until they audit it. Now, I realize this situation's very different than the one I shared at the beginning of the service. That situation had no happy ending. God's met us in it to some degree and level. This situation's different, and it does have a happy ending. They're different in magnitude. They're different in the outcome. Yet in both of those, that decision and commitment, not an easy one, to take these circumstances and in the midst of them to praise God and to offer them up as an offering have brought healing into my life, helped change my attitude about the circumstances, released burdens that God didn't want me to carry, and have increased my faith as I've opened myself to allow Jesus to come and meet me in the midst of these circumstances. And this morning, I just encourage you, in the midst of those things in your life that aren't going well, those things that are going wrong, those hard times and those hard trials, let's ask Jesus. Let's offer it as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. Let's ask Jesus to come to meet us in these things and to be present as we praise God. Let's take a few moments for for prayer and reflection.
Lord God, in the powerful name of Jesus and in his authority, I evoke you, ask you to send your Holy Spirit in a meaningful way in this moment. Holy Spirit, well up from within us, descend upon us, wrap us in your loving presence. Meet us in the midst of all of these things that are going on in our lives. And as you do, we want to bring to you the praise, God, that you alone deserve. We want to be a people who are faithful and obedient to praising you even when things are wrong, to praising you in the midst of the trials and the suffering and the difficult, to holding true to our hope and our faith that we have in you and your kingdom, God, that is unshakable. Praising you for the hope that we have that one day you will come and the fullness of your kingdom will be here on earth as it is in heaven. And we will live in all of the glory and all of the blessings of who you are and who we are made perfect in you. And we praise you for all that you will do one day and for the way that you are at work in our day-to-day lives, even now. Sometimes bringing good or changing the circumstance and meeting those needs, and sometimes just giving us your presence and your love to sustain and to persevere and to be strengthened in the midst of these times. But God, help us to be these people, your people, that praise you in the midst of it all. And so receive our praise here this morning as we turn our hearts and our lips towards you and we pour out our offering, a sacrifice of praise to you, Lord, as we profess the name of Jesus.